Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything, and seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You got money for gas? Yeah. SEC Media Days, I think it's all overrated. I used to go to SEC Media Days every year, and I loved it. I flat out loved it. Not for the interviews, though, but for the fellowship with other media members. I loved doing one-on-one interviews with the players, and we would have fun and all that stuff. I'd get the players to do freestyle raps with me back in my day. I miss doing the daily radio stuff, but we got a loaded show for you tonight. We have Dave Shumate joining us a little bit later, one of the smartest personnel minds because he was a player personnel director with Gus Malzahn. He'll join us coming up here in just a moment. But I want to talk about Garrett Nussmeier and one thing he had to say at SEC Media Days.
Make plays outside the pocket is special. And also, I think some people don't realize how good of a passer he is as well.
Garrett, highly successful first season as LSU starter. What have you been focusing on as far as improving your game this offseason?
Yeah. Well, I think for one, you know, there's no hiding from the turnovers. And I think it's more of an understanding of, you know, the way I am as a player, as an anticipation passer. You know, there's going to be some interceptions. The ones that I need to eliminate are the ones that don't need to happen. The ones where I'm trying to do too much. The ones where I'm trying to make a play when I don't need to. And I think it ties into my growth as well. And I've really bought into trying to change my body makeup and being able to be more durable, to be able to run, to be able to make plays with my feet as well. I think, you know, there are times last year where I may have made a mistake that if I would have just put my head down and gone and got back to the line of scrimmage or went and ran for 3 yards and slid, it would have been a different outcome. So all of them tie together. And there are also other many ways that I'm trying to grow as well and be better as a player. And as I said before, it's more about just becoming more well-rounded and raising the floor.
One last question real quick.
There you go. Garrett Nussmeier. The best thing you could be in life is self-reflective. Is understanding that you yourself are flawed and that you yourself have things that you could work on, whether you're a football player, whether you're a taxidermist. Why did I say a taxidermist? I don't know. Doesn't matter what your job is, The best thing you could do from year to year is self-reflect. I self-reflect, or at least try to, when it comes to my YouTube content, which is why I am launching new YouTube projects this weekend. I'm really excited about those. They're outside the sports space. Sports will always be my passion on YouTube, but I'm excited to work on new things. You should always be willing to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, what can I do to better myself? And that's what Gary Nussmeier said publicly. I cannot state enough how important it is for him to bring up the turnover thing. And earlier in that interview, he talked about how he joked with Marcel Reed about him giving Texas A&M the game earlier this year, which is what Garrett Nussmeier did in that game. He gave them the game through really bad interceptions. And even though the South Carolina and Ole Miss games had bad interceptions, LSU was still able to win. But even then, Garrett played so unfreaking believably well in those games that it wouldn't have mattered for me if LSU would have ended up winning those games or not. A&M is different. A&M is very different. Garrett did not play well in that game. And I understand the Garrett Dellinger injury changed a whole lot for him. But for me, the INT that he threw on third and two, thrown across his body when there was an open Xavion Thomas on the sideline, was one of the most consequential interceptions in LSU modern history. It really was that big of a deal. Because if you remember correctly, LSU was up 17-7. And at that juncture, you were wondering, hey, is LSU going to make a run for the college football playoff? They were only a one-loss team when Garrett Nussmeier threw that interception. So it's one of those things where you really want to hear your quarterback say, hey, I need to do better in this. Hey, I need to do better in that. You know who else did that? It was Jayden Daniels. Jayden Daniels did that repeatedly in almost every single interview he did going into his second year as the LSU starter. He said, hey, I need to be more willing to throw the football deep. What did Jayden Daniels do? He had the best PFF college football grade ever for deep ball accuracy. Yes. So Garrett saying that hopefully will be a more turnover averse quarterback. But my favorite part of the answer was him also telling you that interceptions are going to be a part of his game. As an anticipation thrower, there are times when people, as in the defense, makes a good play. And that happens when you are an anticipation thrower. You could throw the football with so much anticipation that it could get you in trouble. You can guess, and Garrett did guess some last year and got very lucky. Some of that was in the South Carolina game. But when you're an anticipation thrower, those things are going to happen. That's his superpower, which is anticipation. So I do like the fact that he said that, hey, this is who I am as a quarterback. Take it or leave it. Now, the next thing, and the final thing I'll say about Garrett, is he did mention the running. And the biggest runs you make as a quarterback who is not known for running aren't the big 7-yard scrambles here or the 12-yard scrambles here. It's the, hey, I'm in a lot of trouble. Let me take a negative 2-yard sack, or let me just run out of bounds or throw the football away, rolling out to the right or left. So running for first downs, Garrett did run for a big first down, backed up into his own territory versus Ole Miss. It's not so much the runs themselves that are important. It's the avoiding of the disaster plays that you must do a better job of. Taking a sack here or there. Or as Garrett said specifically, when I have a chance to run for 2 or 3 yards, run, slide, live to find another down. Those things are so important. They really, really, really are. So it is of the utmost importance for LSU fans to understand who Garrett is as a quarterback, while at the same time, celebrating Garrett for acknowledging that he needs to be better in those categories. All right. Taxidermy is a very respectful profession. I have no idea why I said that. Black Ice, good to see you. Hyper Ninja on a glorious Tuesday. Don't forget, we are live every weekday. I say every weekday. Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, we are live at 6 p.m. Central. So please tune in. Please. It is of the utmost importance. Okay? Now, next thing. And this is massive. To me, there was only a few things regarding this team specifically that Brian Kelly said that I thought was interesting. I'm going to give you the biggest, and I'm actually going to do an entire live stream on this topic tomorrow, all right? But to me, the biggest question mark for LSU going into next season is center. It is by far the biggest question mark. I don't think there is a close second. Because the LSU center play last year was the worst in LSU modern history. And the problem wasn't that DJ Chester was bad. It's that they did not go to another option. There is a rare occurrence that happens in the Southeastern Conference where a center has a grade under 50 for the season. Now, this is a PFF grade. I do not fully agree with all PFF grades. I've shared that time in and time out. But they are at the very least directionally accurate. And I understand we can get into all the different debates about what I like about PFF and what I dislike. But it is hard to deny that the PFF grades directly matched up to DJ Chester's film. Now, is there more context to why DJ Chester had such a tough year last year than just him having a bad year? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. Some of that's on Garrett. Some of that's on a bad run game, a bad design run game, a first-year play caller, all those different things. But why is center so important this year? Well, LSU went out there and got the best center they could in the transfer portal in Braylon Moore, who was pursued by many in the transfer portal. Also, this, and our guest ironically tweeted this out. This is not why I had him on today. We're going to ask him about it coming up, Dave Shoemate. This could be the best year in the SEC ever for centers. There are so many freaking good centers. So many. So the thing that really stuck out to me from Brian Kelly's press conference at SEC Media Days is when he mentioned DJ Chester, he didn't say center. He said guard or center. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. All right. And there was a Patreon deep dive that we did a few months ago at the center position and why it's so important to really focus in on that position. Because you, as an offense, can survive mediocre offensive line play. What is really difficult to survive is bad. And it was bad last year. There's just no other way of denying it. It was bad. So you need it to be better. I believe DJ Chester will not be starting at center. I believe it. I think it's going to be Braylon Moore. So we'll see. We will see what happens. It's to me so big. I really don't think there is a close second when it comes to personnel decisions, because we all know Will Campbell and Emory Jones are going to be tough to replace. Anyone can tell you that. It's that where you get yourself in trouble is when you think you have someone coming back that is good and they're not really that good. And you believe that person is going to be a difference maker for you, and they're not. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Okay? Let's go to Jerry. What if pressuring Garrett Nussmeier to be mobile gets him hurt and the season is kaput? It's a very good question. All right. We see Sibley in here. We see S. Young, Tony the Tiger, who doesn't miss a live stream. Pressure. Let's talk about injuries. Well, Jerry, injuries are random. They're random. You don't know when someone is actually going to be hurt. Let's talk about the biggest injury that happened to a quarterback last year in the SEC. What was it? Well, it was Carson Beck in the SEC championship game. It was the biggest injury. It ended up defining the entire Georgia season. Well, how did Carson Beck get hurt versus Texas? His arm was hit on a follow-through. Right, he was throwing. He hurt his arm. That's how it went down. Well, that wasn't him running. That was him sitting in the pocket and making a throw. Right? So you cannot predict quarterback injuries. Yes, there are pretty big examples of quarterbacks running and getting themselves hurt. Pretty famous example of this is Dak Prescott a few years ago. His knee going in the opposite direction than where it should. He was scrambling. It's just one of those things, though, where if you're running compared to when you're in the pocket, there is no big data or study done that doing one or the other leads to more injuries. Now, you can make a case that scrambling a bunch and taking big hits opens yourself up for more injuries. Logic would make you think that. But when I tell you, I have never seen a quarterback take as many big shots when they run than Jaden Daniels did in 2023, and he popped right back up. You could survive them, right? You could survive them. Same thing with Joe Burrow. Took some absolutely massive shots in that Auburn game. He was able to pop right back up. So we don't win that Auburn game without Joe's runs. It was the ultimate deciding factor in that game. We don't win a lot of games if Jaden doesn't have the clutch scrambles that he had. Now, obviously, that's a completely different level, his rushing ability compared to Joe's and whoever else. But that's what Garrett was saying. It was the timely runs. It is hard to project injuries at any position, in particular a quarterback. And you follow up here. Injuries amount of running the ball are statistically high, hence the short lifespan of running backs. It's a little bit different, though. It's a completely different position. You know, running backs are getting clobbered on quite a few of their plays. They're also willingly going out of their way to run people over. A lot of them. It's a different thing. Let's go to Brian. He says, on paper, this LSU offense looks elite. Garrett Nussmeier, especially with the time, could be the very best in the sport. Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it through a college lens, when you look at an NFL lens. So there was a guy who does NFL draft evaluations for a living. Crap, what is his name? I actually got in a back and forth with him a few months ago when he compared Talen Green to Vince Young. I know it's DP NFL. He tweeted out something. Who are your top three NFL draft quarterbacks going in to this season? Garrett was by far the most common answer in everybody's top three. By far the most common. These are NFL people. Are people that are judging quarterbacks based on their NFL ability. So they're not college folks, right? They're not Texas A&M fans or Texas A&M bloggers or whatever. They're looking at it strictly through an NFL lens. And they are picking a quarterback who has very, very good arm strength, but very to little mobility, is not really that big of a guy. That just goes to show you how special they think Garrett Nussmeier is as a passer. And this is him without any runs, right? Imagine if there are some scrambles that Garrett Nussmeier gives you. Like, it's ridiculous how many people are really, really high on Garrett Nussmeier. And you have him saying what he is saying about him looking himself in the mirror and saying, I've got to be better at not turning the football over. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Let's go to Sibley. The Tigers are loaded, and if we beat Clemson, look out. Yeah, it's weird. It's so weird looking at LSU versus Clemson. Because the biggest week one storyline in college football is obviously Lee Corso, for being fair. It's Lee Corso in his final ever game, headgear pick. But it's also LSU has not won a season opening game for five seasons and 0-3 under Brian Kelly. You hear it nonstop. And there's people like me who blabber for a living who tell you all the time that you should schedule Saskatchewan State University in week one and then play someone big in week two. But here's the thing about Brian Kelly. And it's ironically something that helps bolster my argument for a nine-game conference schedule. It's the one thing you can never call Brian Kelly when it comes to competitiveness is a bitch. Because today, we saw something very interesting happen. Indiana bitched out. They bought out their contract with the University of Virginia, and they're not going to play Virginia in the non-conference. And they bitched out. They wanted an easier schedule. They wanted to go get another rent-a-win to increase their chances to go to the college football playoff, all right? Which is why I keep telling you guys, college football playoff expansion sucks. And the watering down of its regular season sucks. And because you make so much more money making it to the playoff, it freaking sucks, all right? So, you know, it's kind of a weird thing for me because I try to look at college football from a process standpoint. And programs like LSU, programs, and this is going to feel so icky of me saying this, programs like Florida, and I hate Florida, and a program that I do admire a lot, like South Carolina, they deserve more credit because they go out and schedule very difficult non-conference games all the damn time. And there's no award for that because you oftentimes lose those difficult non-conference games. I think it's very important when you judge the Shane Beamer tenure. They had a magnificent season last year. Magnificent. But early in the season, they were struggling versus Old Dominion. All right? Most of you probably don't even know where Old Dominion is located. Some of you only think of them as a country group, and they are a good country group. But they struggled in that game, but they still won, and they ended up having a really good season. Whereas the year before, they played well versus North Carolina in a season opener, but they were playing North Carolina. Drake May, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL already, or will be at the end of this next season. I really do think Drake May is that good. But And watch him. Drake May, you should draft him in all your fantasy drafts. By the way, you should go draft him right now. Fast Draft Fantasy, you see it in the bottom scroll. Sign up now, promo code Carter. Deposit match bonus up to $50. South Carolina schedules really difficult out-of-conference games, and they have to play Clemson every year. But we don't do that in our college football analysis. We really, really, really don't. I was listening to Bud Elliott the other day. And I was listening to an interview he was doing with a really good friend of mine by the name of Trey Biddy. I've not talked a lot about my friendship with Trey. He's huge on 247 Sports. He's like the Shea Dixon of Arkansas Razorback coverage. Just massive following in the state of Arkansas. And I'm a big fan of Trey. And Trey was criticized for his interview he did with Bud Elliott a few months ago, where Trey honestly complained quite a bit about Missouri and how much easier their schedules were than a school like Arkansas, where the resources at Arkansas are probably better than they are at Missouri. They're somewhat equal. And the recruiting is about the same. But Missouri gets a cakewalk schedule every year, where Arkansas, stupidly, might I add, schedules at a conference road games versus Memphis and Notre Dame. All right. So when you evaluate college football teams, understand playing Clemson in week one is difficult. And LSU fans don't like excuses. And I'm not going to give you one this year. All right. Even though this could be the best team that we've played in a long time. I really do think Clemson's that good. It is important, though, to keep that in mind. It really is. And I'm glad Sibley brought that up. Let's keep it moving here. Let's go to Chance. Nuss is so polished talking to media. It's true. It's very, very, very true. You know what else is true, Chance? Everybody is polished. Everybody. All right. So, you know, I saw my buddy Aaron Torres. He's national Fox Sports Radio guy. He, I don't think it was a criticism of Arch Manning, but he was talking about how boring Arch Manning is in his interviews today. Good. I want my quarterbacks to be boring. In fact, I want my players to be boring. Especially in an SEC media days setting. Because it is a lot. It is a whole hell of a lot. And it really is a nothing burger. I think we view SEC media days in a way that we shouldn't. The truth is, we should more focus on the media at SEC media days than the actual players and coaches who do interviews, press clippings, and all of it, right? Listen to the interviews that some of the other media members do with others, okay? And look, I do think this is important when discussing SEC media days and so on and so on. You want your players to be boring. But at the same time, I do give players like Diego Pavia a lot of credit who choose to not be boring during interviews because it makes it interesting. All right. Diego Pavia says, look, Vanderbilt, we're going to win a national championship. When we all know Vanderbilt is not going to win a national championship. And it's not because of Diego Pavia. It's because they just don't have the linemen to do it. But the interviews are boring. And the funny thing is, everyone focuses in on the quarterback interviews being boring. Those aren't the boring ones. Okay? Go listen to the other player interviews. They are atrocious when it comes to interesting stuff. I mean, it's just so unfreaking believably coached up. Now, I listened to one the other day from a South Carolina player I like a lot. He's a safety. His name is DQ Smith or something like that. And every answer was short. Every answer was, we're excited for week one versus Virginia, and so on and so on. Whew. It sucked. It sucked. Go to Sibley Super Chat. Carter, I like this LSU talent. project how this talent compares to 2011 and 2019. Take Sergio Burrow out of the equation. Very good super chat. And thank you so much, Sibley, for your support. Okay. Man, they don't touch 2019. Wide receiver, the gap is pretty wide. Tight end is even. Offensive line, the gap is pretty wide. You said take Joe Burrow out of the equation. I don't think the gap between Burrow and Nuss is as wide as it is at like the other positions. Defensive line is so different to compare the two because the systems are so different. But let me see. I mean, I'm trying to get my guest in here. All right. DB, I mean, any defensive back room with the prime Derek Stingley is probably going to be better. But I don't think the gap between the defensive back rooms is too wide. Obviously, 2019 is going to win that. Linebacker is pretty even. And then defensive line, I would give the edge to 2019 as well. And this is me looking at it through a preseason lens. I really liked LSU going into 2019, but nobody thought that obviously what was going to be that, right? 2011, offensive line, better. Garrett obviously clears QB. Running back room, 2019 to... I didn't do running backs for 2019. LSU RBs. I would say this RB room is better than 2019. I will. That's a hot take. Obviously, Clyde is better than Caden for now. I just think our backups are better. I do. But I'll fully answer that a little bit later. We got Mr. Dave Shoemate, who had the big Austin Thomas question. What's up, man?
What's going on, Carter? Appreciate you having me on, dude. How's everything going in your neck of the woods?
So give people an idea of what it's been like in Atlanta for you.
For me, I've been here in the main coach's room for the most part, trying to ask each guy kind of one question, trying to get some intel, certainly kind of on the support staff personnel side of things. If I can, again, this is my first SEC media days. Again, it was on the college football side, 9-10 years, been on the media side, I feel like, for a good 3 years, but first time I've came to actually SEC media days. And I feel like, I mean, you can attest, Carter, you see some generic questions at times. It's like, all right, let's go a little bit more in depth on like the organizational structure, ask some of these guys some of these internal questions that they don't normally get outside of maybe going to some of these alum bases, booster events type of things they would get that you don't get at SEC media days. So I thought I would ask that. Some had some good answers, some had some like, man, you don't really can't really define what your personnel recruiting department does. But Brian Kelly, I thought, had one of the better answers. Talked about Austin Thomas and kind of that philosophical change I feel like LSU's had here in the past year and a half from their hiring, transfer portal class, just overall. I mean, talking to Austin over there a lot, Brian Kelly gives him the responsibility to go make a lot of decisions for the program. And I think it's a good decision for Brian Kelly because I think he kind of wants to be hands-off from everything I talk – for everybody I talk to, it's close to the program, and he kind of wants to hone in just kind of on the big picture, as you know, the CEO stuff. And I think he enables Austin to kind of go about and do his job at a good – from a good standpoint.
What do you think – and obviously you know a lot of these guys. What do you think overall the personnel hires that they've made? Because you yourself have a personnel background for quite a few programs.
Yeah, it'll be – I mean, dude, I think Kelvin Bolden, again, he's a guy I went to my high school, from Ocean Springs High School.
Oh, I didn't know.
Phenomenal job, good player, played at Southern Miss. Peanut is his nickname, does a really good job as a communicator. Sam Petito, I think one of the more under-the-radar guys in college football from a communication relationship standpoint. Even going back to his days at Georgia, I think people forget, I mean, LSU fans will remember, Shaheem Carter, who went to Alabama from he was committed to us at Georgia for a while when I worked there, when Sam worked there, because Sam had that big of a connection. Sam signed Devontae Smith, obviously, who LSU fans are familiar with, went on to LSU, won the Heisman Trophy. Some other guys, Ishmael Shopser, you remember him, didn't really pan out, but has a lot of connections in Louisiana. He's been a part of some really good, I think Sam has in total three national titles in the past like 10 years between Alabama and Ohio State. I thought that was a phenomenal hire when you factor in the location, the specific job. Who's the other guy I'm missing? Kelvin?
Yeah, Sam. Jeff Martin. Jeff Martin.
And Jeff. Yeah. I don't know Jeff. I mean, I know who Jeff is, but I don't know Jeff personally. He seems like a communicator. From the side, it sounds like they hired a bunch of guys that were more on the communication side, relationship building side. I will be interested to see who does a lot of that legwork that like the Preston Tiffany's did, that is more of the in-depth analytical kind of guy. Because to me, I don't know Jeff, never worked with Jeff, but from things I hear, he isn't on that kind of spectrum either. Neither I know Kelvin and Sam aren't either. So that'll be interesting how Austin kind of reins that in, because I think in years past they've had Will Redmond, they've had Preston Tiffany that have kind of done a lot of the documents, putting together the books, the stuff that normally the communicators aren't doing. There's got to be
right. And when you mean by books, you mean like actual scatter reports of players.
Correct. Putting that together to hand out to the coaches where it's presentable. And Austin's a big template guy. Like that's where the only, again, LSU fans probably don't give a crap about this. As long as they're winning games on Saturday, getting recruits, I can care less what our templates and staff meetings look like, which I totally get. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. But that would be my only, if I was being honest with you, Carter, I'd say the pros, dude, you hired a ton of connections, man. I don't think you could have hired any better people that are going to help LSU in that state and in the border states like they did. But I also wonder who's going to do a lot of the day-to-day legwork in that department.
I'll do it for free if Brian Kelly wants it.
Volunteer.
Well, here's the thing. I do it for my patrons. I do my own scouting grades. I'm not obviously – I don't have the same data.
You do a phenomenal job. I mean, you could definitely do the job from that perspective. And when I say books and templates, like, as you know, almost, what is it, formatting these templates and stuff on a computer.
Yeah.
People are like, this guy can't run a computer. So you would be shocked how many people that they would not want touching certain templates where Brian Kelly gets his hands on it.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, that's my biggest weakness is, like presenting – data, right? I know.
Well, I'm not even one of the best, though. I'm just saying there's some really good dudes out there who know how to finagle that. I'm not one of those.
Yeah. As far as other stuff at SEC Media Days, I don't want to keep you too long because I mean you got to go out in the city, man. You're in the A, baby.
They have that little. I just went over there with Chris. We were hanging out with Crane and then Blaine and Jake Crane. They were about to deliver dinner, but no, dude, hey, we can chop it up all day.
That's the thing. I mean, you could be at All-Star Weekend and you're hanging out with us.
We're with the Power Hour, baby.
Let's go. I really liked your question and all of it, but I like the fact that like you have a football background and now you're in media and all of it. Is there anything else that doesn't have to be LSU related? It could be anything related that has stood out to you.
No, from a perspective, I would say probably it's funny how some guys I think you can tell when they get to the big podium and put a little bit more work into what they're going to say. And who I hate to say, because I think Kirby Smart, obviously Brian Kelly, and like a Steve Sarkisian, you can tell. And we still got two more days of some guys. We got eight more.
Right.
But those guys, you can tell they put in. Greg Sankey comes up here first day and says he started working on his speech for this thing, Carter, in February. February. But anyways, Josh Heupel was a guy that kind of came off a little bit like he just got off the boat a little bit and just was like, I got to go to this thing. And again, we know he's not a big media guy. He would love to just get in there and chop offensive football up. But
that's it. Yeah.
It kind of felt like his certain question. Like today, I asked him a little bit about, I thought Tennessee doesn't have a GM. The recruiting personnel department's not talked about enough, but I know some guys in there. And I just kind of wanted him to talk about their roles, the three main guys in there. Couldn't really define, just it was kind of just like, yeah, he does advanced scouting, he does portal, and it's like, okay. Again, they probably didn't prepare him for that question, but at the same point, it's like,
right.
You can't define the responsibilities of people who work under your umbrella. I thought that was interesting. Like, if I asked Kirby Smart that, he would be able to list off what the guy does on a day-to-day basis. So that's it, it's I would say, too, I feel like another thing going into yesterday, that because you asked me overall, and Chris just clipped something on our SEC Unfiltered channel. I feel like Shane Beamer a little bit, Carter, was kind of under the radar tempering a little bit of the expectation. Like, hey, man, like this isn't just for 25. This is years and beyond. And he kind of came in and was like, yeah, everybody's got us projected high this year because we have our quarterback back, which is fair, and we won 9 games. But, like, we won a lot. Everybody wants to talk about we could have beat LSU. We could have beat Alabama. But he's like, we could have lost to Old Dominion week one. We could have lost to Missouri late in the year. Those were all close games. And I think people kind of forget this time of year going into the talking season type of stuff. It's like everybody, Auburn included, was kind of a coin toss away. Certain things go their different ways. We're talking Auburn, maybe a 7-5 team. We're talking South Carolina, maybe a 7-5 team, 8-4 team instead of 9-3, 9-4. So you could tell he was a little bit like, yeah, we got our quarterback, but we're losing 9 starters on defense and a lot of our interior of the defense. And you know, Carter, like that's a developmental spot. You aren't losing Taki Hemingway, TJ Sanders, guys like that, and just replacing them the next year at a school like South Carolina, really anywhere now where there's no developed. So I think South Carolina's gonna be a team that drops off a little bit. I feel like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Certainly could. I was wrong on my prediction with South Carolina last year. I thought they were a 5-7 team. They went and blew that up in my face and said F you Dave, and they went 9-3. But I don't know, they just lost so much on defense. And I think people forget, while the offense was sputtering at times, the defense, I mean, that you remember that, Carter, that Oklahoma game. I mean, they were up in, I think, Oklahoma's first 3 offensive series. Didn't South Carolina have like 2 pick 6 and another?
Yeah, yeah, they kind of threw the game away.
It was over, and South Carolina's offense did 4 point.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma did more to lose that game than South Carolina did to win it.
And then you factor in you're breaking in a new OC, Mike Shula. I just think they drop off a little bit. I could see it a little bit. Shane Beamer, like, I think he's like, dude, people are going to be predicting us to win 8-9 games again. If we go win 6, people are going to think we're going down, and we're going to be predicted bad going into 26 media days. Which it's whatever at a school like South Carolina. It's going to be a roller coaster where you're predicted depending off what you did last year. But there, I could sense a little bit with Shane Beamer. He was a little bit like, yeah, we got Lenoris. We have some major question marks around him.
Now, South Carolina actually is a fade for me going into the next year. And you could see a world where Sellers really is like that guy. And that is definitely in the range of outcomes where he's so unfreaking believably good that it doesn't matter. And then I just did a deep film study on Nicholas Harbor. And this was the weirdest thing. So, like, I'm not as good as, like, finding like historical analytical profiles and stuff like that, but I was like, who's a 6'5 receiver that had like similar stats? And lo and behold, Nicholas Harbor's stats were very similar to Brian Thomas Jr. before his breakout.
And I was like,
I don't think he is that good. I don't think he's as nuanced, but I mean, I could see Nicholas Harbor being that dude going into next year. So
I think Harbor would be a little bit his mentality. And I think Brian Thomas, I don't know Brian Thomas Jr., but like I feel like Brian Thomas had a little bit more of a dog. And then they're trying to get that track and field mindset out of Nick Harbor.
Right.
Physicality consistently. But you're right. I mean, it's a good comp from a standpoint. And I know what you meant more so like, hey, maybe it hasn't had the production, but don't be shocked if he comes screaming on the scene a little bit.
Who, just based on what Jared, obviously we have 2 more days, but this could just be your personal opinion. I'm kind of talking myself into Auburn having like a very big year this year. Is there a team that kind of stands out to you right now is under the radar?
We were talking about a fader. That was South Carolina. I'm with you, Carter. I was just talking to the Crane brothers over there over a beer. I had to talk them off the ledge, the 6-6, 7-5. I was like, dude, I think Auburn's closer. Call me crazy. I think they are closer to 10-2 than 8-4. But when you factor in the schedule and it being second year under DJ Durkin, I was breaking it down for them a little bit. This probably ain't going to go out like this, but let's think about it. Their schedule, just schedule. Let's say they beat Baylor. Just hype that. I think that's a must for them, obviously, to get to 10. But they get at their conference schedule. Missouri, who's replacing everybody on offense, could easily be a 6-6, 7-5 team. Maybe not that far. Maybe not 6-6 because of their schedule. You have Kentucky, who I think is not going to be good at all. Vandy, love them to death, but I still think they're still in that 6-6, 7-5 range. Auburn's roster is better than them. They will be favored. They should win that game. I know they lost to them. And then Arkansas, who I don't think is going to be very good. That's half your league. That's half your league games that could be against like sub 500 to 7-5 teams. You get Bama and Georgia both at home, and then you go at Oklahoma and at A&M. If you could split those Oklahoma A&M games early, and I think we'll know about Auburn by early February, because we'll know they'll go at Taylor, at Oklahoma, and at Texas A&M in their first five before a bye week for Georgia comes to town. If they're 4-1 going to that bye week when Georgia comes down, first of all, Jordan Hare will be rocking for that. And then they are just due to get one of the Georgia-Alabama games. I think they get Alabama to end the season. I do. I think this is the year they get Alabama. It's at Jordan Hare. Alabama has played down to the wire much worse teams than Auburn, than this Auburn team before. I think this is a game. See, I don't really worry about DeBoer in the big games. It's kind of those games like I was on another show today, and I brought up, what does Alabama do in a game like this? We were just talking about this team, Carter. They play Tennessee, and then they go at South Carolina the very next week before a bye week before they host LSU. What do they do in that South Carolina game? Like after a big revenge game and a rivalry game against Tennessee. And I like Alabama in that game, but we saw them last year coming off big games. Vanderbilt the week after Georgia, 2 weeks after beating LSU, they go and crap down their leg in Norman. In these games where they almost like get out prepared in these games where everybody kind of anticipates them to win, that's kind of a trap game to me. I still like Bama to win it, but I want to see them in those type of games. I think that Auburn one is very – I think Bama rolls in 10-1 into the Iron Bowl. I think they lose it. I still think they make the playoffs.
Oh,
I do think they lose that game.
So are you Texas wins the SEC?
My SEC championship game, Georgia-LSU. I have Georgia winning the SEC champion. I have LSU getting into the championship game because Bama losing to Auburn. Yep, and I have Bama. Yep.
Dave might be higher on LSU than most of my viewers.
Yeah, I think the really – because I went game by game, and I had a three-way tie for second place between Texas, LSU, and Alabama. And if I think I went back and did the tiebreaker right, it's like – again, because those teams don't all really play each other. Texas, LSU, and Alabama. I think it was conference opponents' conference record, and I think LSU would get that right at the way I had it, because they played Oklahoma, Texas A&M, or Alabama. Like Missouri wasn't great for me this year, just because they lost so much that hurt them a little bit. So it'd be a tie, three way tie for second. What are the plans tonight?
Yeah,
I think we're going to go to that stats place next door, watch the All-Star game. The SEC's putting it on, dinner, open bar. I know your listeners would be fired up by that. So if you're in Atlanta, you're an LSU fan, you're a Power Hour LSU Carter Bryant fan, I mean, you probably have to pay for your beer. It's not going to be open bar for you. But you can come join us and talk some SEC football. I'll buy you a beer.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you go enjoy your evening, man. We appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, brother. I'll come on anytime, dude. I know I had a family emergency come up last time, so we couldn't. So I apologize about that, dude. But I appreciate you bringing me on any opportunity you get.
Yeah, I if you were doing the show, I would have done your segment, but I would have gone to the open bar party, got one of my drinks, and then came up and did it. There you go. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon, brother.
Appreciate you, dude. Have a good one.
All right. Make sure you go get my follow. SEC Unfiltered. Good stuff. So, you know, it's funny. I have never met Chris Phillips. I know he's close with Blake, and you guys know Blake is my best friend. I was on Blake's show before I jumped on here. I like Chris Phillips a lot. I'm glad that they built their thing. So, really excited about it. As someone who does not make a gazillion dollars doing it, I do make enough to make ends meet. I'm getting to go to Oxford this weekend. I'm really excited about that. We'll be rocking my LSU gear there. I will say, though, it is so hard to make it doing this. Like it is so, so, so hard. And I am hoping I get hired by like a national agency where, you know, I'm able to get a salary and all of it and still get to do this and all that stuff. But this is all I want to do. And I said what I said earlier about SEC Media Days being overrated, but being there is relevant. It's expensive, but it's relevant. Each media member has to pay like $40 a night to park there. because Beyonce's there. I would obviously want to go to that show. And the All-Star game is that weekend. So busy weekend in Atlanta. Okay. So it seems like the chat wants me to go back to Sibley Super Chat. Sibley, as you guys know, always ask the best questions. I don't think this team is as good as either one of those teams, 2011 or 2019. And Sibley said, don't include Joe Burrow into this. And I think even if that were the case, so be it. All right. But you'd have to go back and find my old KLSU tapes. I do have those shows from my student radio days. I was really high on LSU going into 2011. I was also really high on LSU going into 2019. I am high on LSU going into next year. I am so worried about the offensive line, though. I really, really, really am. And, you know, to Dave's point, a few teams that we talked about there. We'll start with South Carolina. I do think South Carolina is overvalued. I do think, though, Shane Beamer is so freaking good. Like, I really do think Shane Beamer is so unfreaking believably good at coaching. To the point where if something were to happen to Brian Kelly, which it won't, I'm not saying it will, that gets clipped and posted until the end of time. Y'all, Shane Beamer is a real freaking deal. He is a real freaking deal. I also think Josh Heupel is really, really, really good. I think both of those teams will have down years. I do. So I'm in agreement with Dave. I do not like Jackson Arnold as a quarterback, though. As much as I want to believe in Auburn, I do think Hugh Freeze is a little burnt out. I do, however, like what Auburn has on defense. Falk is very underrated as a defensive player. So I guess I'm on the fence about my Auburn hype. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. SEC Unfiltered does good baseball coverage. They do. They actually do. Let's go to Race Bannon. Not a fan of BK, but after that West Weeks Q&A on the SEC stage, I have to admit I'm an LSU homer. That was awesome. Paul Skeens is about to pitch on Fox. Edward O. Yeah, I watch a replay. I did watch him. I did watch his All-Star inning last year. It was really good. Cosmos, good to see you. I hope to see you throughout the season. Good to see you, man. All right, here's what you're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If we super chat, we'll keep it going. I will say this. All right, I saw this earlier. I'm trying to find it. It is so interesting. Crap. Where is? Damn it! I can't find it. I can't find it. So Ashton Larson transferred to Texas today. And for those that don't know, he's a backup outfielder on LSU's team. Really good player. Struggled this year, but if you do watch every pitch of every game, you know that he is extremely talented, right? And he's probably going to be good at Texas, right? Paxton Kling went to Penn State. He had a good year whatever. So it's no sweat off our backs. But Monster Milam, allegedly, I saw this, and I would need to confirm this. And you see, I have a Monster Milam photo here. Apparently, he tweeted a horns down or Instagrammed a horns down. It could be a fake image. I don't know. But I can't love that guy anymore. I thought I couldn't love him anymore than I do now. And boy, was I wrong. I also went on a different show earlier today, Mr. AYS, and I glazed Texas. Holy crap. I am on the Texas train. I know it when I see it. Texas is going to be special this year. Carter, LSU baseball got themselves a thick commit. I love me some thickness. I need my college athletes to be thick. Are sports about speed now? Yeah, sports are about speed. But sports are also about power and force. And force equals mass times acceleration. Thank you, Miss Shelley Forbes, in 10th grade physics. The bigger you are, the faster you move, force will come. And the force is with that Grand Canyon State. I should know his name. In fact, I have a close friend that is at Grand Canyon State. One of the higher ups at Grand Canyon State, a former teammate of mine. And so I don't know his name. I saw him hit some bombs. We need some thickness. Jared Jones is gone. Tommy White is no longer with us. Obviously, I was 2 years removed. You can't just have a team full of Monster Milams. You got to have balance. Got to have some big boys where when they get the barrel on the ball, it's going to land at Izzo's Burritos. You move to Costa Rica. I know this has always been your profile photo, Cosmos, but you... Just judging by the lighting and everything and that smile, I don't think anybody would be shocked by looking at this photo that you moved to Costa Rica. Like, you know, like I think most people are like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Cosmos, very successful guy. Costa Rica. That's definitely a Johnny Quest reference, Pierce. Race Bannon. His name is Zach York. He is 6'3", 295. There you go, Yorkie. Christopher Freeman, not related to Marcus. Or he might be, I don't know. LSU went in the natty, call me now, don't at me. Well, the thing is, Christopher, I can't at you in the stream. All right, so Tyler, I actually meant to bring this up because I've gotten my Baton Rouge card revoked a gazillion times because I've never been to Blue Store. I had Blue Store for the first time this weekend, and it sucked. I don't know what the hell you got. I'm kidding. It actually was really good. Blue Store was really good. It was really good. Miss Lemony Twang went out there and got it for me. And had fried chicken with my auntie. And it was really good. I cannot deny that at all. So, there you go. That's a great note to end on. We will be back live tomorrow. Big shout out. You have to go give him a follow on Twitter, at Dave Shoemate, for joining us earlier today. Our top super chatter, who also, look, this... Even though it is money in my pocket, this comment did generate the most interest. project how this talent compares to 2011 and 2019. Thank you so much, Sibley, for not only your generous donation and your friendship, but also making our live streams so much better. And each and every one of you make these live streams better and better and better. So even if you're not commenting and you're just enjoying the conversation, I want to say thank you. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Shout out to the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience, serving North Louisiana, Dallas, Texas, Orlando, Florida, pretty much all throughout the South. XYAN360.com. Book your 360 spin booth today. Let's go. Tonight, we're doing pot roast. Let's go.